In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is in our midst.
Was and is and always shall be.
Fear, anxiety, worry, anger, frustration, confusion, all of these emotions and many more may fill our minds and our hearts and even our souls with the horrible events that are occurring around our world today. And even here in our own city, especially the events of this past week. And as we see and we hear and we experience the many and varied responses to these events, as Christians, we look, or we should be looking, to our faith in prayer and in Scripture, and to those who have experienced much in their lives, to give us hope, to give us strength, to give us encouragement during these times. The countless men and women who committed their lives to Christ, who suffered and were persecuted for their faith, their lives and their experiences are lights, are a source of encouragement, are a source of safety for us today. Because they, in their lives, reflecting the love, the mercy, the compassion, and the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our safety and our security as Christians is not in the temporal. And we desire that, and that's a good thing. It's not in the temporal. It's in the eternal. We are seeking an eternal existence, an eternal safety, an eternal security, an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Recall from chapter 14 in the Gospel of Matthew, the event, the miracle of Jesus walking on water. When the disciples, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of great winds, as we hear, in the midst of their security, fearing for their security and their safety, they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter called out, "Bid me to come to you, Lord." And he said, "Come." And as Peter was getting out of the boat and walking toward Jesus, looking at him, he noticed at some point the turbulence, the wind, the water, the storm around him. And he began to sink. And then Jesus reached out and grabbed his hand and pulled him into safety. Focusing on Jesus Christ and not looking and not seeing and not fearing the turbulence around him, he was safe and he was secure. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, throughout Scripture, we hear and we read about these issues. And the psalmist also speaks about this when he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then the very familiar Psalm 23 that we hear and we read oftentimes when we are offering prayers to those who have lost a loved one. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then also in the lives of the countless men and women who have gone before us, as I mentioned, one in particular that we commemorate today, Marina. Now, Marina lived in the late 3rd century. And she suffered persecution and torture and ultimately death. Now that isn't as remarkable because many men and women before her and after her, even to this day, are experiencing the same things. But what's remarkable about Marina, you see, she was born of pagan parents. And her mother died when she was very young, an infant. And her father was a pagan, involved in many pursuits and many dealings in the pagan world. And he gave his daughter to be raised by an individual, a woman, not knowing, of course, that this woman was a Christian. And this woman raised Marina and taught her and tended to her physical needs as well as her spiritual needs. And Marina, at a very young age, dedicated and committed her life to Christ. And then when she was 15, now imagine this, 15 years old, a young woman, when she was noticed by one of the pagan individuals in the area who wanted to take her for marriage, she rejected that and she professed her faith and she committed her life to Christ. She expressed her commitment, I should say, at that time. And she said, and this is what's remarkable, imagine a young person knowing that she was going to be tortured, knowing that she would be put to death for her profession of faith, said this in facing this evil. She said, "Nothing will separate me from Christ. Neither affliction, nor famine, nor fire or sword, nor any other harsh tribulation, not even a violent and painful death," which she was to experience. She said, at 15 years old, "Nothing will separate me from Christ." You see, Marina, Saint Marina, and all those who faced and experienced the same thing encourage us. They give us strength. They are lights that shine the light of Christ and have turned many and continue to this day to turn many to Christ, to a life of righteousness and a life committed to Christ. Now we know that light, physical light, illumines around us. It helps us to see where we are going. It gives us warmth. It illumines our soul and warms our heart. The light of love and compassion and faith. And it's important because in this day, just as in the time of Marina, in this day, the world is truly a dark and lonely place. The darkness of evil, the darkness of despair, the darkness of hopelessness, the darkness of destruction, the darkness of terror. But the light that comes from the uncreated light, is the light of Christ. You see, He is the origin of such light so that He can proclaim, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And as Christians, we are the light in the sense that the light we have comes as a result of our sacramental relationship to Jesus Christ. We do not produce the light, but the light that reflects off of the water, the light of Christ walking on the water, we too reflect the light of Him, that He shines in us and through us. But there is also an added dimension to Christians being light. Because not only do you reflect light, but you also have the essence of light dwelling in you. St. Paul takes this same language and he amplifies it, the meaning of "you are the light of the world." "For you were formerly in darkness," he says. That's the sinful condition, but now you are the light of the Lord, light in the Lord. That is, in the relationship with our Lord, he's telling us, through the sacramental and prayer-filled life, we are now light because Christ dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. You have been made a partaker of the divine nature, in 2 Peter we hear. So what then are we to do in the midst of these times? As Marina did, as the countless saints before and after her did, rather than displaying the deeds of darkness, live like those who have struggled to live holy lives. Walk as children of light, St. Paul tells the church in Ephesus. The lives reflected the saving grace of God and whose lives were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We are not to conform to the sinful world around us. We are in this world, but not of this world, said our Lord. We belong to God. Now, just as our bodies thirst for water, so our hearts thirst for more than material life. The world around us thirsts as much as it ever has. Can we not see that? People are seeking a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning in their lives. But our Lord came with a message about the fullness of life. And He left it up to the church, and we just celebrated Pentecost a few weeks ago. He left it up to the church and sent the Holy Spirit to carry that message forward. He gave the church something to help us in this endeavor, the Holy Spirit. For the Orthodox Christians, that would be the third person of the Trinity. And in the sacrament of chrismation, the Spirit is within us. What we do about it after our chrismation is up to us. Now, in the gospel message that we just heard today, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. In addition to Marina, we also commemorate the 630 fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council. Our faith, the gift of our faith that we have today, rests in part on the belief that the Holy Spirit was in those men and guided them to the truth. And that was handed down to us this very day. This council of bishops in the 5th century of the church dealt with ideas that are still being discussed and debated in some circles today, even in the church, the Christian church, some confessions of faith. Was Jesus really human? Was He really divine? Was His human nature swallowed up in His divine nature? And so you may ask, why does it matter? Why is it important for us to know this? Well, but to Him, it does. Because you see, if we're going to worship, we should know whom we are worshiping. Jesus so much was God that it was hard to believe He could be a man. Yet so much was He a man, it was hard to believe He was God. A man couldn't restore the way to salvation as a man, but God could. Likewise, God couldn't know human suffering as God, but as a man, He could. Jesus is, in the term theanthropos, the God-man. So much was He a man, He was born of a woman, yet so much was He God, He was begotten of the Father. So much was He a man that when His best friend died, He cried. Yet so much was He God that when He was done crying, He said, Lazarus, come forth. So much was He a man that He died on the cross. Yet so much was He God that He resurrected Himself up under His own power. You see, our God is complex, and we have in the Holy Fathers examples of whose hearts burned with the Holy Spirit in them, not just to know God, to live in Him, and to do His work, but also to understand His nature as best as humanly possible. In the epistle today from Titus, Paul warns Titus to avoid divisive people and foolish controversies. The young and vibrant church of the 5th century had its share of controversies, which in part led to the councils. And controversies still continue today, whether they be in the theological world or in the secular world. All around us, we hear about constantly, 24/7, about controversies, about dissensions, about this position and that position. St. Paul gives us clear direction on how to deal with these controversies and these divisive people. Now, there's an interesting thread between the gospel and the epistle readings, and that is the exhortation of doing good works. In the gospel reading, we heard that it would be through our good works that others would come to know our Father in heaven. And in the epistle, St. Paul urges the people to do good works so that their lives would be productive, that they would produce fruits. Try as some might, we just can't separate faith and action. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.